What does that sound, you ask?
Welcome to the Rec Show Podcast, a show dedicated to beatmakers around the world. Kick back, relax with the host, Golden Mind.
All right, check, check, 1, 2, peace and love, everybody. Golden Mind here for another special, actually, this is another one, but this is a special edition episode. All right, yo, you know when I do these special editions, y'all know it means something, man. Hold weight, yo. So thank you for tapping in. Thank you for staying loyal, man. Thank you all for sharing this all across the socials. Coming in week in and week out, man. I appreciate every second y'all listen to the show, yo. But I just put out the J Phil episode, so go back. That was Sunday, so today is whatever day you're, what time zone you're in, that's the day it is. But so check out the J Phil episode. Amazing interview, dope jewels dropped, crazy music, man. Like, yo, that's one of the senseis. So go ahead, check out that episode. Check out all the episodes from March, February, you know, January, all of them, man. Go back and just take the jewels that they drop. But yo, let's get into this, man. We not even on Earth no more. We about to go to Planet Nemic. All right, yo, and Planet Nemic, it be some wacky shit happening, yo. That's what we got going on right now, man. Yo, we got my guy, a producer. You know what I mean? He's a, like, yo, man, this guy's an alien. he's an alien by himself, man. He came out with the Owala EP. You know what I mean? He gave y'all the electronic dance joint. Oh, it's slipping my mind. Hold on, man. He gave y'all the Cosmo Funk. All right, Cosmo Funk album available on iTunes. Yo, we got another one that's coming out, yo, Friday, exclusively on Bandcamp, yo. So if you're not a Bandcamp member, go ahead, go into your little computer on your phone, bandcamp.com, and then go ahead and follow my guest, the one and only beat maker from Planet Nemic, Tatsumaki. What's good, family?
Hey, what's up, War?
Yo.
Yes.
A long time coming. Thank you for being on the show, my guy. Like, yo, it's, yo, man, they have no clue what they're about to get into on Friday, man. And I hope everybody's tapped in. I hope y'all saved y'all money. Just go ahead and save that little bit. You know what I mean? Because, yo, it's officially Bandcamp Friday, whether they want to know it or not. Yo, you know what I mean? It's Bandcamp Friday. We're going to show support Friday. Blow this thing up, man. Yo, we
let them know.
You know what I mean? We are here to talk about your new joint, man, that you've been working on for, what, a couple years now, right?
Yeah, well, it's been kind of in the, you know, it's almost not like I've been working on this particular project for like 2 years since Walla, but I've just been working, you know. I've been creative and I've continued to be creating. And within that time, a couple projects has come together. And this is one of the first ones that I've kind of, you know, put together to tell a complete story. So, so I would say that I haven't been working on it for 2 years, like tweaking snares and shit, you know what I'm saying, for 2 years and getting the mix right. But it's came together within that time frame for sure.
I got you. Yo, man. So, yeah. Yo, in that meantime, you've been, like, giving us some bangers, man. Like, yo, every time there's a challenge, you in it, you know what I mean? You come back with some bangers, man. Like, yo, people need to tap into your SoundCloud, your audience,
Hey,
yeah, be some good stuff happening in the audience, man. Don't sleep on audience, guys. Yo, for real. Yo, like, thank you.
Yeah, I did have a little period when I was definitely focused on audience for a bit because, you know, a lot of what they were saying, it sounded like something to apply towards because it might bring some fruits later. But one thing I realized was that I'm not impressed with how Adidas is pushing themselves. Like I started feeling like I was having to put so much effort in trying to convert an audience to Adidas, but Adidas, I felt like they weren't putting that work in. Like nobody, you know, it's not anything new. There's no new artists like promoting it. You don't hear about it. So, but then I realized like, that's kind of when I kind of transitioned back on this SoundCloud because I realized like, you know, SoundCloud is like the original streaming platform, like before the DSPs really. And you know, it was like so ground roots and there still is an audience there. It's not like it used to be back in the day where a trendsetter could repost your stuff and you blow up like K Trinata and stuff like that. Like that don't exist anymore since the DSP, but what does exist, like I realized the people that's still over there is like, it's the true connoisseurs of music. Like if you still got a SoundCloud and you still tapping into some of your joints you used to listen to, you're a legit connoisseur. And I realized that, you know, that's still worth investing in. And also it's still an ill platform for people just to press play, you know, on something. So that's why I've definitely been getting a lot more energy towards, you know, cultivating that SoundCloud audience. I think it's still definitely worthwhile for sure.
I got you. Yeah, that makes perfect sense, man. Like why are you pushing, harder than the company?
You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, exactly.
You know, cause they should be pushing harder to grab us. You know what I mean? The people that's going to fill the, you know, the data and all that type of stuff, man. So these are the conversations we like having on this podcast, man. Like, cause some people just don't know. And if you don't know, you can't do nothing about it. And then, you know, strategically move in a different direction. So, yo, man, amazing, man. So, yo, besides like the challenges, I know you've been sharpening your sword, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every single challenge, sharpening your sword, man. Nothing but high praise for what you got going on and coming out with, especially for me.
Thank
but
you.
Then when other people hear your music, they blown away just like I am, you know? Like, so.
Man, I'm honored.
Yo, it's our pleasure, man, because, yo, man, you doing some amazing stuff. So we gotta talk about this new joint, man. If y'all don't know, man, if y'all haven't been following Tatumaki, y'all need to follow him on Instagram. Are you on Twitter too, right?
Yeah, man, we get busy on Twitter. Like, listen, if you a music producer and you ain't in the conversations on Twitter, even just to watch DiBiase go at these fools, like homie's hilarious. Like, but nah, we having legit conversations on there, man. So if you ain't on Twitter, like you need to get on there. It took me a while, but like it took me a while to even understand like how to do it. But once you get it, it's like it's ill. It's like conversation based. It's not like post based like Instagram. So I fuck with Twitter heavy.
Right, right. Yeah, man. So yo, I need y'all to follow him on Twitter. I need y'all to follow him on IG, man. Follow him on Bandcamp. Follow him on Spotify. Follow him on SoundCloud. Follow him everywhere, man. We're gonna talk about this new album called Guru. All right, that's the name of this new album, man. And yo, I had the honor of listening to this for like the last, I want to say 4 days, 5 days. I've lived with this thing, man. I think I ran it up like probably 20 to 30 times already.
Yeah, damn, thank you, dog.
Yo, audience, man, like. I was getting ready to say something that somebody else, like, because Kazal, he's featured on that, Kazal Organism. Y'all,
yeah.
That is, you know, y'all need to tap in too. But yo, this album, amazing. It's 11 tracks, everybody. Okay. 11 tracks. This was a well thought out project. And today, like while as we're talking, we're going weave in and out of the album, man. I got the green light from Tatsumaki, and he's like, yo, we good with that. So we're gonna weave in and out. First track we talking about, okay, let's talk about Guru. What is Guru all about?
Yeah, so the concept of Guru is basically, it's named after the Namekian patriarch, where if anybody follows Tatsumaki, you know that, a lot of my mythology and folklore, it kind of blends together the worlds of Street Fighter and Dragon Ball Z, but not in an obvious way, you know what I'm saying? And some people think that I'm probably like a diehard Dragon Ball Z fan. I got posters all over my wall and shit like that. it ain't that deep, but it's more... The Namekian shit is tied to, first off, I might just start with that really quick, because the Namekian stuff, it's tied to, a lot more poetically, because I remember when I first started actually making music and the music that I loved, and when I first started creating, I didn't know how to make the music that was in my head yet. I had to get my skills up to that level, but I always knew I wanted to sound like something foreign, like something alien, like out of this world. And I didn't know exactly what that would be. And in fact, I don't think I've reached it yet. Like I have it in my head still, and I'm still striving for it, where I want to go. But, I wanted my music to sound like something kind of unfamiliar almost. And so I had things in my head, like, I was playing around with shit, and I was thinking like, Yeah, I want to sound like an alien, like, and I kept thinking, and the first planet that popped in my head, some of the cats is like, yo, why didn't you think of the Dagobah system, where Master Yoda lived? And, there's so many planets and galaxies, right? Mm-hmm. But the reason to me was Namek is because, there is a strong nostalgia to me in my journey of discovering Dragon Ball Z, because Dragon Ball Z for me, it wasn't like people nowadays or even how people discovered in the tsunami. Like I was the kid in like 1995, 1996, in Louisville, we had a channel called Big 58. It was like channel 10. You had to tweak the fucking things to get the scratchy. Yeah, it was all scratchy and stuff. Exactly. And like, it came on right after church, and my family was hella religious. So it was like, sometimes they're talking too long, and I'm trying to get back to see this show that I found one time as an accident with like the scratchy screen. Like I just discovered it by myself. None of my friends knew about it. I couldn't tell anyone about it. So it was kind of like my own thing. And like, I remember my favorite character immediately was like this green dude. You found out that was Piccolo. So like, there is that nostalgic aspect to it. But then also, as I thought deeper about it, that whole experience is like, I learned that my whole life I kind of grew comfortable being an alien, like in the sense of being foreign, because my neighborhood that I lived in, my friends, everything around me, I always knew like I kind of had tastes and flavors that was unique to me that the people around me didn't really associate with. And I ended up getting comfortable just being my own thing in my environment that, was like by myself. It was like, it didn't have to be my tribe around me. Like for everything, I was okay being solo, like being the alien. So all of that kind of ties into it. But anyways, the Guru is a continuation of that, because if you know the history and the folklore, Guru is like the Namekian patriarch. He's like the original Namek. And I always knew that I wanted that to be a title, but where it fell into the series, kind of like shuffled a lot. But it made sense now that was going to be this one. And basically what happens is people go to Namek, and Guru, he can unlock your potential. Like you have like a potential within. But if you go to him, he's able to like actually unlock some deeper potentials that you didn't know actually existed. And when people get the album Guru, if you read the liner notes, I give a little bit more of an explanation on kind of the story in the Tatsumaki saga and where Guru fits in. So like Walla was kind of like the Hobbit. It's like, wasn't even the first chapter. That's like the prologue. This is like right now, this is the, what was the first one? Like the Fellowship of the Rings type shit or whatever. Yeah.
Yo. Okay, yo, man. Like right now, you putting out comic books, man. Like, oh my god! Like you said, that's the prelude.
Yeah.
Oh man, like, yo, I got a geek out. I'm a geek out with you, man. I just hope you
hell
know.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
So, okay, so there's a we got a lot of like in the beat community, we got a lot of people, that are anime fans, yo, and a lot of people know about Dragon Ball Z, but I wasn't one of those kids that watched Dragon Ball. I was watching Thundercats and all this other stuff. But as I'm like in this community and I'm learning about all these animes and stuff like that, now I'm seeing like how y'all are like forming y'all own galaxies, which all sound
exactly. You know,
is that a good assessment?
Oh, totally. Yeah, that's definitely, definitely one of my prerogatives for sure. Like, I'm trying to create an entire universe that ties together, for sure.
Mm. Yo, man, you definitely doing it with this Guru album, man. Exclusively available on Friday, exclusively on Bandcamp, man. So,
it will be available on Friday, but at the time that we're doing this interview, it'll actually be available tomorrow, so April 5th.
Hey.
Yeah, so it's coming a little bit early, of the weekend, for sure. But it'll be available Friday for sure.
Okay, I got you. Okay, that makes. Let me fix that. Yeah,
it's all good.
Talk about the album. So, okay. Let's get into this album, man. We're gonna talk about the tracks as we play them, man. So y'all in for a treat, everybody. Y'all go ahead, share this right now, retweet this, share this on your IG stories, all that type of stuff. But okay, let's get to it, real quick.
Last time on Dragon Ball Z.
It's a bird. It's a plane. No.
Yo, I can't say this name. This is Tatsumaki
all the way from Planet Namek.
listen, man, that's the first track, man. That's Enter the Namekian, yo. All right, yo, if that ain't hook you already, you know what I mean? That track is gonna hook them in already, dog. Like,
I hope so.
Let's talk about Enter the Namekian, man. What's going on with this track?
Man, well, you and me, like, we're pretty close, similar, like, generation, really. And, like, I'm very fortunate to say that I'm from an era where, like, you had albums, you had vinyl, you had cassette, you had CDs, and, like, people sold you products literally for you to experience the album. Whereas now, with the nature of DSPs and things like that, just the nature of promoting and how it works and playlists and things like that, it's more single focus and single oriented. And that's also went into the work of the artist. Like, even Beyonce, she's done a lot of interviews where she's talking about, she's still very album oriented and tries to create albums, in an era where it's like, it's so single heavy, so people's minds aren't in creating a full project. So with that being said, when people's making albums, I'm from the era of where CDs had intros, they had outros. It was like I love that. Like, some of my favorite moments, like, for example, Bone Thugs and Harmony comes to mind because they had some of the illest intros to me. Like, for example, Art of War, East 99. Like, yo, the intros, like, it, like, let you know what you were in for. And, like, there was an art to creating an intro. Like, and that is always, like, that's where I come from. And I knew that, like, when I got to this one, like Guru, I definitely was wanted to have an intro, and I had a lot of ideas swimming around, and this just kind of came together. And yeah, this is basically what this is. Like, I wanted to, because, you know, in the beat scene, it don't happen that much. Like, Pat's just throwing beats together and making ill beat tapes. And I love that too. I love that too. But I feel like there's more we can do with it. Like, you can really make a movie. And I just come from the era where that's where all my favorite artists were doing. They always made a movie. So I'm just trying to do my version of that.
Yo, man. This thing is an experience, man. I I'm disrespecting it when I say thing. This is an experience. For real. Like, this is an experience that, like, man, you just gotta put it on, man. So I've listened to it in multiple situations. I listened to it at work. I listened to it driving home. I listened to it driving to work. I listened to it when I was just home. Actually, just like doing stretches and stuff like that. I listen to it going to pick up my kids. I listen to it in like a lot of different situations, dog.
Dope.
You on one, yeah.
I got a question, man. Did you find yourself wanting to kind of start from a certain track and letting it run or repeating, or did you kind of often like wanting it to go from beginning to end? Like, how was you normally playing it?
Yeah, I listen from beginning to end, yeah.
Oh,
so from the very first track all the way to the bottom. Now, I even thought about listening to it backwards. And I was like, okay. I wonder what that story is going to sound like. Listening to the last track to the first track. But
we like Kendrick's Damn.
Yeah, exactly. Yo, so, yo, I was like, I didn't get to that yet. But, yo, I'm giving up them ideas. So, y'all, when y'all buy this album and y'all support this album, listen to it from front to back. You know what I mean? Multiple times. And then you can do what you, how, you know, the whole playlist type thing. Cause Bandcamp got playlists now you can create. So
yeah,
that's what's up. Yo,
that makes me happy. Cause even down to the track length, the amount, like how I sequenced them, I created it because I want it to be experienced as a whole.
Right.
So that's good to hear.
Right. Yo, man, we got to give a lot of love to whoever mixed and mastered this album, man. Who was that?
Okay, well, the mix, I did all the mixing, but the thing about mixing it, it's almost a little unfortunate for me, because literally after about a month after it, Koala came out with the EQ. So now I feel like I could have been even iller with the mixing, but you know, there's always room for improvement, and you know, I'm never fully satisfied with that. But it kind of it's a capturing of what it was and where I was at that time. But the mastering is done by my homie, your boy Pax.
If
y'all don't know, hell yeah, if y'all don't know your boy Pax, first off, tap in just for the music, because I'm a fan of him musically. But also in terms of his sound, his style, and he provides services, you know, mixing. I think he just reopened that. I think he stopped mixing for a while, but now I think he's back open and doing mixes, but also mastering. Like, he definitely knows what he's doing. And the reason I always had him in mind for mastering this one is because, you know, when you get like an engineer you work with, you kind of want someone that understands the music. And, you know, definitely nobody is going to understand, you know, where I come from musically as much as him, because he's from the same family tree musically too. So
I didn't catch that till you said it, because like, he's, y'all are nowhere near the same, but y'all's like, y'all are out there, man. Like, y'all are okay I get it man. While you with,
we got similar inspirations. Yeah
Dog, that's so dope, man. All right, yo, let's get back into Guru, which is going to be available April 5th. But wherever you are in the world, it's going to be everywhere else. Is going to be Friday, man, exclusively on Bandcamp, right? Did I say that right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Bandcamp.
I got you. Yo, let's get into Sasaki. All right, let's listen to.
Sasaki.
Sasaki.
Named after Sasaki Kojiro, one of the most the toughest duelists and opponents of Miyamoto Musashi.
That's the Five Rings.
Yes, sir.
I got that book in my library, yo.
Hey, there you go. Yeah, that's all a part of my universe.
Hey, yo, man. All right, let's get into that. Sasaki. Did I say that right?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, Sasaki. It's probably Sasaki. Open to interpretation.
There you go.
Yeah, I've always pronounced it Sasaki, but Sasaki. Maybe I'm wrong.
Okay, Sasaki featuring Zetrock. Who is Zetrock?
Zetrock. It, to me, he's a musical genius. He's actually based out of Louisiana. And man, if you do a little deep dive on the music, like you, dog, you might have to get him on the show, man. He's me and him. We actually have some big collaborations coming up, some like crazy ones. Like me and him musically, like we're very intertwined. Like I can't just collaborate with just anybody, but me and him, it's like butter. And him, he basically performed the bass line on this track. But Zetrock, he's incredible. He's one of my favorite artists.
All right, yo, man, let's get into it. Reel up. We can't give them no more, yo. That, yo, Sasaki, man, yo.
Yeah.
Yo, featuring Zetrock. That the way he slid the bass all over that track with the, you know what I mean, with the pause at the 30-second mark, like when y'all pulled up.
Man.
Oh, yo, talk about that track, dog.
Yeah. Man, well, you know, to be honest, that's probably the oldest track on Guru. I was trying to think if anything else was older. That's probably, yeah, man, that track's probably maybe a year and a half old, probably close to 2 years, probably. But that one in particular, that one was, it was battle oriented. I did make that one competing in one of the Bag Season Records battles. Shout out to the Bag Season Records homies. Yeah. So that did come out of that energy. And I felt like that was good to be at the top because Walla, my first album, was all 100% that same energy. So it was a good like transition, you know, because I wanted to make it to where if someone wanted like a marathon, they could listen to Walla straight into Guru. Like, you know, like on some Star Wars marathon type shit. And it's gonna like transition and flow perfectly. And in fact, the way that Guru ends, that's gonna transition into the next one too. Mm-hmm. Like this is all planned out. You would listen to it like a marathon, but anyways, Sasaki, like one of my reason I always loved this track was the drum pattern. Like I remember writing it. The thing about Koala, you know, like we're everywhere. Like we don't have to sit at a desk with the same laptop with the same setting, the same, like I always have a visual memory of where I was, and at that point I was just on the couch like in the living room just sitting, and I was trying to come up with a drum pattern, and that's one of my favorite BPMs. I wrote that one at 106 because 106, that's some of my bounciest stuff. And I just was inspired to do something at 106 at that time. And like the way the snare and the clap and the, like I've tried to emulate that drum pattern. Like I said, I made that about almost 2 years ago. And since then, I've still never been able to duplicate that type of pattern. So, and then when I flip, like nowadays with all the AI sample detection and stuff, I ain't even talking about what I flipped anymore. Like, it's a pretty obvious one though. Like it's one of my favorite R&B songs, but if cats know, they know, but I ain't gonna say what I flip, but yeah, man, I basically had that done forever. And Zetrock, my dog, like he really wanted to play bass on that, but I ain't gonna lie, I was kind of lazy. Like, I didn't want to do it. I was like, this is done. Because it was hard for me to write the bass to it. So bass line originally was super simple. It was almost just like a frequency at a certain time. I was like, man, it's cool how it is, you know? Mm-hmm. But and me and him, we collaborated on the other stuff. And we kind of slowly played around. I sent him some stuff. He sent me some stuff back. But he kept bringing that track up. And literally for almost like a whole year and a half, I was like, man, it's done, dog. I don't want to upload that shit anymore. And then, like, he didn't quit to the point to where I was like, you know what, man, fuck it. And I just uploaded. I just sent it to him, and I'm glad I did too, because it's like he murdered it, man. What he did with it, like, I could have never done anything like that. And I think he gave it a whole another life for him. So yeah, Zet Rock. If you don't follow him, man, check him out on Instagram. YouTube, though, he gets busy, man. He directs his own music videos. Like, he's so creative. He's incredible. We definitely got a lot coming.
Yo, man. Yo, Zet Rock. Shout out to Zet Rock. Shout out to Bag Season Records, man. I had the opportunity to chop it up with Frank Carrick and who's my guy? Yo, he's killing it.
You had Wano on, I know.
Wano Willie. Yeah, Wano Willie, man. So yeah, it's Bag Season Records, man. They got some dope production team over there, man. It's four of them. I'm trying to remember the other two right now in my head.
That's Afka and Delicious Beats.
Yeah, Delicious Beats. Yeah, I almost said Deli Got Beats, but that's somebody completely different.
Hell yeah.
Yo, man. So I gotta ask you, man, because I had I built my questions and everything, yo, just listening to it so many times. You know what? Let's play one more track and then I can ask this question, man. So okay. Let's listen to let's have you talk about Misnomer Abstraction. Yo, what's this track about?
Oh man, So this track is kind of like, it's like a interlude if I was to describe it. But I think it's very important because it sets the tone and it kind of gives some of my favorite producers and music artists are basically giving a definition almost of what we do with this, with the beat scene, with electronic beat music. And I almost, in a way, there's several underlying themes to Guru. Some of them are pretty obvious. Some of them can really only be felt over time from listening to it. But one of the more obvious themes is I wanted somebody who maybe doesn't fully understand beat music, like what it is. Like somebody could let them listen to this album and it gives them an idea of what we're trying to do. So Misnomer Abstraction is an important track towards that. Because not too long ago, one of my homies, we were out and his girlfriend was with us and she was trying to ask, you know, what is like beatsing? What are these beats? How do you explain this music? And I was listening to them trying to explain it. And, you know, it's not always simple, but Guru, I was hoping is something that if somebody listens to it, they can at least have an idea on what we do.
Got you. Yo, perfect sense, man. And we're going to go and listen to Misnomer Abstraction, man. Let's get into it.
Beat scene is not a scene. It is not a beat. It is a misnomer. It is an abstraction that we use to refer to this group of disparate individuals who are so impacted by this amazing music, be it jazz, classical in some cases, ambience, electronics, that they decided to band together and make something that physicalized their affection.
My motherfuckers get up and play John Madden all day. I get up, I try to beat the shit out the NPC.
That's a beautiful motherfucker. That you prefer the NPC?
I like the NPC, I like the SP. I like samples. I like shit that don't got nothing in it, then put life in it. Some
higher shit. Yeah, yo. Listen, listen, that is Raj G talking, you know. Rest in power, Raj G, man. 404 Day is coming up soon. Y'all
rest know. In power.
Yeah, man. Like, yo. Okay, listen, man. We because we only giving them a little snippets, man. That's yo. Y'all gonna get some good stuff when y'all listen to this album, man. But when I'm listening to that track, man, it was like, well, the first person, because that is a, I don't even want to say where you got it from. You know what? Because somebody might flag this. Nah. I know what you're talking about beat culture.
Yeah.
It was talking about, yeah. What's the one that was in LA?
And the artist was Daedalus. And yeah, a lot of them from the LA beat scene.
Yeah. He was talking about that, yeah. Man, in this flick. So, yo, man, like what? Because you in this album, man, you blend so many voices together. Like I don't know how you did it, dog, but yo, it's kind of like one starts and then it's another one in between that comes in and finishes. Like it's mid. Like how did you do that, dog? Like.
Yeah, you know what? I've always wanted to explore that because, I mean, one of the illest to ever do that is MF Doom. Like, everybody knows how MF Doom, he would take all of these obscure sound bites, you know, and probably if I have to pick my favorite time that he's done that is Food. For any of the MF Doom heads, if you listen to Food, like the way he was getting all of these obscure chops and put them together and almost, you know, was able to like communicate through all these sound bites. It was just insanely ill. And he talks about, I think in his Red Bull Academy interview, he actually explains his inspirations, like where he got that from, that idea, and then how and why he does it. But I've always wanted to play around with it. It's just, it takes a lot of effort. Like it kind of my procrastination to it was kind of like, you know, not wanting to spend the time and collect all the different sounds and what if they don't work and all of that. But it made sense for this one. You know, I was really inspired. Like it made sense if I finally took a step towards that. And what kind of woke me up that I could do it was when I did the intro. I remember designing that. And, you know, a lot of those moments were moments that happened organically, you know, like whether it was interviews and things like that. And so I really practiced that on this project. And I think it helped kind of make the impact I wanted to. But yeah, it's just a matter of I just collected a lot of sounds first, almost like, kind of just collecting, like just collecting different sound bites that say things that were interesting. And then it was a matter of now that I got the palette in front of me, picking and choosing, you know, and what will help me say what I want to say. And then you discard, you know, what was useless. So, yeah, it was just a matter of that.
Yeah, man. Yo, how you did it, man. It's amazing, man. Like I've never Thank heard you. Anything like that, you know, before. So, I'm like, yo, dog. Like, so, okay, man, that was Misnomer Abstraction. I feel yep. like this album, man, we going through the Namekian, you know what I mean, universe, yo. Cause you take us on a ride, man, and like from the first preview, that's like the blast off moment, you know what I mean? And then we start flying around in these different areas around the Namekian universe, man. Cause like for this album, man, you got like a mixture of grooves from like Namekian funk. Like I'm just giving them names. Yeah. Namekian funk, Namekian boom bap, Namekian dance, you know, like Namekian electronic music, like all of that stuff. So it's outside the box. But when creating this, was it just to create and sequence later, or did you have like an idea in mind before creating the music?
You know what? It's a Guru, this album, it came together, I'm trying to think of the best word, very, very organically. And the reason I'm saying that, like, there's so much going through my head. I'm just trying to organize my thoughts. Because basically, Guru probably had, like, maybe, like, three or four iterations before it became what it is now. For example, like what it is now, like what I'm finally releasing, like probably like even just two or one iteration ago, it didn't even have any of these same tracks on it. Like it was, it really morphed. Like if I released it, like, you know, even like I probably had most of these tracks done in about like a year almost or so ago. And like what I thought it was gonna be, like it kept changing. I probably cut like 7, 8, 9 tracks. Like, and not even like it was like this much, I just took away 9. It was like, I took them out and then added new ones in, like just complete like albums. And it just evolved to kind of slowly morph into this basically. And like, one of my thoughts with that, with creating like an album, is like, I think you learn a lot more from different art forms rather than a particular art form. Because I had a friend who, his art form is like writing novels and stuff. And he was really into crafting fiction and things like that. And I never had an interest in that, but always like listening to his mindset. And one thing he told me that stuck with me that I take to music and writing albums, he said that, you know, usually themes, like the themes or what's the focus, the main idea of a story, you usually don't start with that when they're making fiction. They just start creating, they just start writing the characters and eventually the dynamics kind of show what the theme's gonna be. So it kind of happened like that. As I just kept creating, trimming and cutting, eventually the theme like revealed itself to me. And then I'm like, okay, I knew what to do. So yeah, it definitely wasn't like a plan beforehand, but it took a lot of time. I took my time with it and it morphed into this. Like even literally like a week ago, I cut a track. So it actually was 12. So like, and I could have released it, like I was planning on releasing it in February. And if I did, it just would have been what it was. But I feel like that time gave me enough time to keep listening and realize like, nah, this one, you know, it's still good. Like people would have liked it, but I just feel like it's more impactful without it. So yeah, it was a very organic process.
I got you. Yeah, like your picture is fully formed now, right? As the final project now, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that, yo, people be underestimating like when it don't go like your plan don't go your way for releasing music, man, there's a reason, man. Just take that energy, put it back, you know what I'm saying? Like put it back into, you know what I mean, the music, cuz you can always make something a little bit better, man, or like you did the process of subtraction. And
yeah,
you probably feel like it's a lot better cohesive now that you took that one track away, right?
Oh, totally. I think of it as like, what do they call it? Like when you chisel like a carving, like a sculpture.
Sculpture.
Because, you know, you start with this huge block of clay, but the art's underneath. You know, it's a matter of continuing to chisel down.
Got you. I got you, man. Yo, so let's get into... Hyperbolic Hot Tub. Yo, that's a crazy, crazy name. I was listening to it and I looked at the name, I'm like, oh shit. But yo, let's talk about Hyperbolic Hot Tub real quick before we listen to it. Actually, let's go ahead and listen to it, then we can talk about it after. Yeah. Let's get into
it. Yes, sir.
Hyperbolic Hot Tub, man. You listening to the Rec Show podcast with Goldamine, with my special guest, the Namekian producer, beat maker, man, Tatsumaki. Hyperbolic Hot Tub, man. Let's talk about that track, man. What's up? That thing is so groovy. Like that thing.
Thank you.
It gets you feeling just right. You know what I mean? Like, let's talk about it, man.
Yeah, I mean, that one, that felt like the right moment to apply that one in. Like, one thing on Guru was, I knew this one was going to be kind of an exploration in styles of beats as well. This is probably the most, like, kind of like hip-hop. I kind of hate the term boom bap, but, like, people know what it means when you say boom bap. I just don't like it so much because when you really try to define it, it's actually... it's not concrete, you know, but usually when you say it in the right setting, cats know what you mean. And, you know, it's kind of showing a style of that. And as you go through the album, you know, I'm kind of showing a different amount of styles, which also I was hoping to show and hopefully inspire that, you know, to a lot of my fellow beatheads too, that, you know, cohesive doesn't mean the same thing, the same energy and the same feeling. Like, if you have a whole project of the same feeling, the same energy, all of that, yes, it is cohesive, definitely is, but cohesiveness isn't limited to that. Like, if you think about some of your favorite movies, if it was the same feeling or the same steadiness through the whole thing, that's a boring ass movie. You walk out of the theater, right? You need a roller coaster. You need the ups, you need the downs, you need the change ups, you need the surprise. Mm-hmm. And that's what keeps you engaged. And that's how, if you do it correctly, like I said, I'm trying to create something that hopefully you stay in for the whole project, which what I found is one of my favorite kind of, you could call them lo-fi, like back in the early days before it was like the playlist lo-fi was 1-2. Mm-hmm. And WUN TWO, for those that know, I just think he is super ill. But what I've noticed was when I would listen to his album, I could never make it through the whole thing. Because it was like after the first four tracks, it was like, I got it. Like, I already know what track 5, track 6, and I couldn't. It's okay to play in the background, but in terms of actually listening to the music and studying, it was like, you've already said this idea. And I'm not even talking down on him. I'm just saying me personally. Mm-hmm. Like, I enjoyed... albums that actually really I have to pay attention, and that's kind of something else I tried to demonstrate with Guru.
I got you, man. Yo, you definitely take us on a ride, man, with every track sounding different, man. I mean, like I said, it's an experience, man. You said it before, like, yeah, you're right. You know, if you listening to the same type of track over and over again, you like, yo, all right. Yeah. I do got it. Like, yo, come on, like, surprise me, scare me, shake me. You know what I mean?
Right.
Do something else, yo. I got you, man.
And then if you're just going crazy, though, like every track just don't make sense and it's just totally different, like that's still not cohesive. So there's an art to doing it and it's still making sense, like being a part of the same story. So that's what I tried to execute.
Got you, man. Yo, how can people tap into what you're doing, man? Seek with your frequency and support, and where can they find you all over the socials, and when is the Guru experience coming out?
Man, well, I'm most active on Instagram because, you know, that's where a lot of the creatives kind of congregate. That's where we get to really share our art in different, very creative ways. So I'm super active on there. You can hit me up. I'm super responsive to DMs, you know, I'm also on Twitter. So that's where I'm most active socially. But to tap in with the music, Bandcamp is where the full art lives. You know, that's where you're going to get the full project of Walla. That's where you're going to get the full Guru, which at the time of us doing this interview actually is going to release tomorrow. So from April 5th, you know, all around the world, it's going to be available on Bandcamp. But obviously I'm on Spotify. I think it's important to be on DSPs and still have a presence. However, if you look closely, you'll notice on Spotify, it don't say Walla. Like my first album, it says Walla Light in parentheses, full album on Bandcamp. So I'm still gonna be on the DSPs, but for several reasons, it's only gonna be a light version. But the full version will always live on Bandcamp.
Man, I thought that was so genius when you did it, man. Like, cause like, why give the full price. What would make them want to come over here where you get full, you know what I mean, full support instead of just somebody got Spotify, they can just listen real quick and are going about their day. But you actually come to Bandcamp, follow the artist, support the artist directly, man. So I thought that was genius, man.
Thank you. And if you look at my Spotify, it looks really light. Like, it's not tons of followers. It's not tons of, plays. But that's because the way I've designed it, if you go into my Bandcamp for artists, like, it's popping. That's where my plays are. That's where my followers are. And that's how I'd rather have it. Mm-hmm.
I got you, man. So, yo, let's talk about Thwomp. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Thwomp.
Yeah, let's talk about Thwomp, man. Like, well, what is this track about, though? Because this was a bananas one too, yeah.
Yo, Thwomp's is it possible for this one we could play it first?
Let's do that, yo. All right, so we're gonna tap into
Thwomp. Cats don't know, I'm gonna let y'all hear it first.
All right, I got you. Yo, let's get into Thwomp, yo. So, I'm like listening to this track, dog, and I'm like in a safari or something, like just
that's tight.
Listening to like all of the birds chirping, you know what I mean, everything like that.
Yeah.
It's like, it sounds like you just took nature and you just created something dope, man. Like, tell me about this track, man.
Man, I gotta say, of all the tracks on this project, this was the one when I made it, like, I was probably the most excited. Like, it energized me the most because how different it was. Like, it, and this one, I'd say this one and the closing track to me was almost the most spiritual in the creative process. Like, how it's almost like I wasn't even there while I was creating it. Like, I came to and it was like, this spirit came into existence and just used me as a medium to bring it into life. So it was definitely a very spiritual experience creating it. But basically how it came about to sound like that, first off, I had these drums, you know, like lately I'm kind of start with drums a lot, and I had a drum pattern, and then, you know, in typical pattern fashion, and then the next thing I was trying to write like a little melody to it, had some chords going on it, and it was cool, but it didn't sit right. So, and oftentimes, you know, I'll do that, I deleted all the chords and stuff, I tried something else and it still wasn't rocking, and I kept trying stuff, but then the idea hit me. I was like, yo, why do we feel like we actually do need like a melody all the time? I'm like, who's really telling stories nowadays with just the drums? And that's when it hit me. I was like, yo, this is African, because, you know, especially the drums from West Africa, like, it was, you know, the stories and the music they were telling was not melodic based. It was rhythmic based. And I was like, so once that idea hit me, I was like, I felt free. I was like, oh, you know what? Hey, fuck a sample, fuck a melody. How crazy could we just get with like, with rhythm and like drums and pattern? And like, once I had that idea, I just started going crazy. Like, at this time, I remember where I was. I was in my truck. It was like pretty late. because I think it was late. I had to grab something to eat, but I was just in my truck. There was like just the brightest like neon light from one of the street lights shining into the car. And I just started making all these crazy ass drum patterns. Like once I had that idea, the whole track probably came together in like 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I remember just listening to it and playing it in the car with the truck speakers. And man, I was going crazy. Like it was just like it just came out of me, and it just felt so free just being able to create an experience with just the drums, because I felt like I'm not hearing that anywhere. So I was excited by the idea of how new it felt, but then also how tribal it felt too. And you know, I felt like almost like the continuing the lineage of our ancestors. So yeah, that, and the name Thwomp was ill. That's from Mario Brothers. I didn't know what to name it, but I was with my daughters playing Super Mario Kart, and like I had all these names in my head, but then you know I saw Thwomp, the little brick face that stomps in the castles, exactly. And I didn't know that was called a Thwomp. I was just playing Mario Kart, and one of the levels was like Thwomp Island. I was like, what? That's a weird word. And then I saw the face. And the beat looks like the face of those things. So I'm like, nah, that's it. This is Thwomp all day.
Yo. Crazy how everything be coming together, man. Like, oh my gosh, yo. Like, that's super dope, man. Like, what was that experience like, yo? Just feeling like you're not even trying. Like, everything is just coming together, man. It's like naturally, you know what I mean? Like, has that experience ever happened to you before, or was that happened again?
Yeah, definitely. Like I always try to tap into that, to be honest, because you know, originally I come from a martial art background, and you know, in martial arts, that's a part of our process, trying to achieve that state of no mind, which is Zen philosophy they call Mushin. And like you know, we strive to attain that, and there's ways to do that to where, you know, your conscious is at rest, but your unconsciousness is taking shape of your actions. And I try to apply that in all artistic endeavors, but for the most part, the best music that I make, it is often very spiritual. You know, like I kind of describe it to me, it's always felt like it already exists as some type of entity. Just in my way of trying to explain it, I feel like a lot of these, the music already exists, but if you allow yourself to be open to the source, you know, the music, it you know, the spirit uses you as a medium to create it. So I feel like I'm not even in charge a lot of times. Mm-hmm. I'm just like the medium that it's using to bring itself in existence. But to get there, you do got to build your skill, and you got to build your instincts. That's the key. You got to really tune your instincts so that then you can relax. There's no blockages in your system, and the source can flow through you.
Amazing, man. You know, that's kind of like when Bruce Lee, I can't remember which movie it was, when he told the little boy, like, yo, don't think, feel.
Yeah. It's like a finger pointing away to the moon. Yeah. Concentrate on the finger, you will miss all that heavenly glory. Yeah, yeah, I'm a Bruce Lee head. Let's go.
You got it down, yo. Yo, man, that's amazing, man. That's incredible insight, man. Because I'm pretty sure all of my other mutants out there, man, creating their own worlds musically and stuff like that, are always, they're trying to like not be in their head so much, but just create from that just being like a conduit, being a conduit to expression from the universe, you know what I mean? So
yeah
man, amazing, yo. Dog, guru, all right, listen, I'm gonna say the guru is coming out, man. Not Jay-Z's guru, we talking about Tatsumaki's guru, right?
Hey,
listen.
Shout out to Young Guru though, you know
shout out to him, yo, but we ain't talking about we got you, yo. Let's talk about let's play the next joint, man. It's called Ultra Instinct featuring The Thought. Now this one, man, I'm listening to this one is incredible, and I'm like, oh man, I don't even want to give it away. Let's listen to it first, and then we'll chop it up. Let's get to it.
Damn, man. That might... Man, he made that from Planet Now. Straight from the hyperbolic chamber.
Come home to Sundoku with open wounds like Goku. Yeah. When tofu would do wrong, give me pork chops that oolong. Been too strong, can't go wrong with the escargot entree. Yeah. Got a Gohan like Solo, needy faux pie, yo mom say. Still PG for a kiwi, he a cheap cheese for a Z pledge. Yeah. Feeder easily, he's a really big eater. Both a stealer and savage leader, yet neither. Nah. Teacher with care, but Eva Gita, sweeter than master. Need a nap a day in the bath to tank till we snap a neck, red cedar. Ever show me, come make a mayhaw the day they break up. Pass the roach, please. At the homie, y'all should roll beans. Trying to pet the one cat from Mo Beans. Yeah. With the bro, we sell the freezer. We gon' need to resurrect Vegeta.
Yo. Listen, dog. Yo. Yo, first of all, the beat is so complimentary to what the thought was talking about. Like, they like it was just, yo, beautiful the way that came together, man. So let's talk about that, man. That's Ultra Instinct featuring the Thought. Like, Ultra Instinct, what's that name? Who is the Thought, man? And what was the process behind this track coming together, man?
Can I ask too, like, when you was first listening to the first time, how did that trick hit you? Did it catch you off guard all of a sudden hearing some vocals?
Yeah, I mean, I only hear you, like, when I hear you do flips. When I do flips, that's the only time. But then I'm listening to it and I'm like, wait, he got somebody actually like rapping on there. Yeah. But then I'm listening to it and I'm like, yo, is he talking about like the Dragon Ball Z universe? So I'm like, all these names is popping. I'm like, wait, is he? Y'all were like, I'm asking people at work, like, yo, what's he talking about? let's talk about this track, man.
That's funny. God, that's tight. Because, I wanted it to be a little surprise, because I know cats is expecting, like, an instrumental album, but slowly y'all going to start to hear, you know, more vocals, too. So that one. So originally, it was just a funky ass beat that I had, and me and the Thought. Shout out to the Thought, man. He's me and him. We actually have like a full project that's almost finished. We've been kind of, I've been sending him some stuff. He's been sending me some stuff. I just, we connected on Instagram. We originally met through Jonu Solo. Shout out to Jonu Solo, super ill beat Smith himself. But he used to have a show on IG called Solo Sessions, and we met through there. We connected. I really respected his style. To me, as an MC, like, he actually produces too, so he understands what I do. He understands electronic music and beats and music production. He's an ill producer himself, but lyrically, like, he has a lot of projects. Like, if y'all mess with this track individually, definitely go peep his catalog. It's really deep. But I feel like bar for bar, like, not too many people can hang with him, to be honest. Like, I mean, like, he's crazy. Like, he's a craftsman. Like, he studied the craft, and that's what really appeals to me. Like, I'm not hungry just to collaborate with any rapper. Like, but if they're as hungry with the craft of rapping as I am with the producing, and they're trying to push things and they studied it, that's what inspires me. So that's why we got some things in the cut coming. But this one in particular, if you follow me on IG, my stories is where I post a lot of work in progress. Like, if you like to hear little snippets of stuff I'm doing, I throw them in the stories. And that was one that he heard, because we were already working on shit, and he was like, yo, this one. And I was like, oh, where'd you feel in that one? Because it was just a super, funky, like, literally like a 4-bar loop. That's all it is. The whole thing is just like a 4-bar loop. And so I had the idea, okay, maybe I send that to him. Maybe that goes on our project. But then I was like, I kind of like this. Like, I want this. I almost was going to keep it as an instrumental on my project. And then it hit me. I was like, yo, if you could write something, I think this will fit on my album. But all I ask is if you could, like, just bar them up. Like, I didn't need really a story. I want you to bar these motherfuckers up on some, like, for the sport type shit, but using some Dragon Ball Z references. That's all I gave him. And when he sent me back what he sent me, Like, I couldn't believe what he sent me back. And also, because the rhythm was tricky, he even said, like, yo, this is hard as fuck. Like, he couldn't even find the right BPM in Ableton. And I was telling him what it was, but it still wasn't sitting right because it was so wonky the way I made it. So, like, the cadences that you hear him finding on it, it's crazy because I feel like the beat was so wonky, it pushed him to be a bit more unorthodox. And I felt like the marriage is like, yeah, it's butter. Like, I love what he did with it.
Yo, man, I was listening. I'm like, yo, it's so many. Like, I had to start looking it up. Like, as I'm listening to it, I start looking up, you know, Dragon Ball and then going down. I'm like, okay, that's what he's getting at. But the way, yeah, the way the beat and the way he complimented it with his bars, man, yeah, that was beautiful.
Yeah,
man. That joint is beautiful.
The lyrics are on Bandcamp too. If anyone's interested in the lyrics, they're available.
Oh man, yeah, y'all gonna have a ball with this one, man. So, yo, I'm glad. Yo, I'm excited for what you and the Thought got coming out, man. So, I hope. This is one of the questions that I wanted to ask, man. With this album, is it just going to live on Bandcamp, or is it going to be turned into like a physical product as well?
Yo, I do have plan for physicals. However, it'll be the next ones, either the very next one or the one after that. Like, it's all like Guru was never intended to live like that. It'll be on Bandcamp and it'll have a light version on the streaming platforms. But I'm dead serious. This is literally just a warm up. Like, the next shit is like the next one. I can tell y'all right now, it's called Nimbus. It's pretty much almost done. I'm just finishing up some of the ideas, but that one is like, if for something happens and I have to hang up this music shit and Nimbus is like my last, you know, hurrah, I'd be okay with it because it shows you where I was gonna take stuff. So yeah, this is just the warm up. I'm being dead serious.
This guy said just the warm up. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, physicals are definitely in the future. I just wanted to be for the right one.
Oh man, okay, I got you, man. Yo, listen.
Yeah.
Listen, man. Y'all in for a treat, man. So we are here right now talking to Tatsumaki, man, the beat maker, the beatsmith from Planet Namekian, man. Yo, man. We with this album coming out, by the time of this recording, it should be coming out on Friday for Bandcamp exclusively. But if you're in another time zone, whether in Australia or not Hawaii, ain't nowhere close to y'all, yo. let me see. Yo, what's close to the Japan is over close to y'all, so yeah, Japan,
yeah,
is China, China's not that close either, yo. So yeah, okay, got you. I'm on a tangent right now. Listen, so let's get into the next. Let's get into the next track, man. And then I'll ask you a question after that, man. This next track is called Microwave Theta Wave. All right, Microwave Theta Wave. Let's get into it. Guy, yo, Music Soul Child, yo.
Oh man, one of the best tracks of all time.
Oh, man, listen. So listen, man, that is Microwave Theta Wave. All right. Listen, let's talk about this track, man. So
okay. Oh yeah.
So what, like, what is the first of all, the name is crazy. Microwave Data Wave. And I'm like, data wave, microwaved. But the data wave is a high. So I'm like, yo, man. So let's talk about the name and then, like, how you even came to, like, flip that beautiful song, man.
Yeah. And then wave is spelt too, like wave, like a wave file. So it's all tied together. Mm. But the explanation of how I made it kind of ties into the title, because basically, kind of like we were talking about before, how, you know, the spiritual experience of creating art, like, basically that one, I was like half asleep, basically. And it was basically like a microwave beat, you know, like the term where we would say microwave beat, where, you know, sometimes you just whip it together, you know, 5, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and boom, it's just a little microwave joint, throw it in the microwave, boom, we done. But basically, that one happened, I think there was maybe a challenge or something, but the thing, me being in Australia, it's like weird time zones sometimes, and it had a random, like, sample. It was kind of like I think it was a rhythm roulette. Shout out Koala Beat Cast. Mm-hmm. So that kind of was the inspiration for me even being up. I think it was like maybe 3 a.m. or something like that. It was during COVID, for sure. It was during COVID times. And, you know, so everybody's sleep schedule was all messed up because everybody was at the house. You know what I'm saying? Like, you didn't have to get up and go to work. So it happened during that phase. So basically, I just ended up at like 3 a.m. Like, I had Koala open. I remember I was laying on my back. Like, I had the Koala, like, on my stomach. And I was just really quick because it was a time challenge. And literally, like, I think I was late because I woke up late. So I had 30 minutes. I just whipped it together in 30 minutes. But the way the music came out, it was like, you know, it had such a feeling to it. Like, it felt so good. Like, it felt spiritual to me. And then the process of it, you know, of how I made it, like, I wasn't even fully conscious. And I didn't even know exactly how it was until the next day when I listened back to it. Like, hey, that's kind of fly. Mm. But, you know, theta wave, that's kind of the wave patterns that's going on in our brains when we sleep, like when we dream. So that's kind of what tied together, you know, the concept of the microwave theta wave. And to me, it felt like a good transition, like an intermission in the album, because I see Guru as having like two acts, and it's kind of like, it's almost like an intermission that leads to act two.
Yo, man. Dope, man. Listen, you're talking about Guru, man. Tatsumaki, man. Sydney. You know what I mean? Australia, Koala, Master, yo, like, yo, I gotta ask you, man, like, you created, you're known as a Koala sampler, like, aficionado, a master, like, you know, if we talking Kung Fu, man, we talking martial arts, like, you would be the teacher, man, you'd be the sensei, you know what I mean? So, like, how did you start, like, I'm looking at one of your previous, like, podcasts or interviews that you did, and it was like, yo, you started just getting, you came from physicals, then boom, you went to the iPad, and then you went to get the $4 app, and then you had like another app and something like that, but you didn't know anything about it, and that's the way you started from, how long were you in that hyperbaric, you see what I did there, how long were you in that hyperbaric time chamber? You know what I mean? Training just to get it where you are right now, you know?
Yeah. So if I understand your question correctly, are you saying how long did I spend with a Koala sampler to get where it is, or how long have I used Koala?
Right.
At this point, when I look back, I looked at some of the dates, like, cause I have a couple files on my computer, and I saw that one of the very first, like, Koala beats that I had, and I, like, exported it and stuff, was like 2019. So, like, that was like my first time messing with it. And then I remember my phone broke for a while, so I was back on my SP404 for like probably a year almost. And then I think towards the end of 2020, I got a new phone. So I was like, yo, let me try this Koala again. Because by then I started seeing people with a bit more screen recordings. like on IG and say, I didn't see it that much before then, but I started noticing it more. And I was like, you know what, let me try this again. And that's kind of when I've been stuck on it now. I've probably, like, it's 2023, I mean, almost a little over 2 years now. I've been exclusively Koala Sampler. So the thing is, a lot of people might not realize, like, most of those tracks on Walla and even all on Cosmo Funk, like, those were made on OG Koala. Like, before, for those that know Koala, before the Samurai Mode, which, you know, when Samurai Mode came out, now you got piano roll, you got time stretch, you can easily delete notes and stuff. People don't realize, like, OG, you couldn't even delete stuff. Like, you had to do a hack. There was tricks to delete notes, like, if you messed up. And sometimes it's just what it is. Like, I mean, it was really limited then, but I kind of still like that. Like, I mean, I was just making stuff exclusively on the 404 before that. So even with the limitations Koala had then, it still could do more than what I could do on my 404. So, you know, most of Walla, except a few tracks, that was all OG Koala. But you know, the thing is, since then, since I've stuck with it, I've got to grow with it. It's continued to get updates. And as it's evolved, I've kind of just grew with it till now. And back then in the OG Koala days, I always had it in my head that I would end up on Ableton at some point, because I had it. I felt like to be legit, make the shit I wanted to make, I'd have to start on, you know, get to Ableton at some point. But Koala kept updating so crazy. Mm-hmm. I never felt a void. And I just ended up like not transitioning off of it, because it keeps getting, you know, keeps getting more infinity stones on the gauntlet. Like, we almost got a full gauntlet.
Right. Right. Yeah. They, you know what I mean? They came out just recently with the EQ joint. And yeah, before that, it was the, was that the AUM joint?
Well, AUM is another app, but what it did was it had better access to AUM, like, for people that wanted to branch out and stem out sounds, actually, and things like that. It got more AUM capability. Yeah.
Yo, man. Yo. And then, you know, of course, Samurai Mode, where you can chop, you can lazy chop, you can manually chop, like,
yeah,
they got the time stretch joint on it too, like, and then the most recent update for Koala Sampler, everybody, for the mutants that's listening, man, was when they allow you to split stems. They allow you to split stems.
That's right, Koala Sampler now. Yep, you can't even do that in an MPC right now.
Nope.
You know, you can't do that in the 4-4, like, you know, Koala. I mean, Serato has an ill stem extraction, but for what it is, man, in Koala, I think it's pretty good too. It's a pretty good extraction.
Yo, man. Yo, shout out to Elf Audio, man. And I hope y'all signing my guy Tatsumaki to a, like, a, you know what I mean, royalty. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yo, come on, my man. Yo, show some respect to my man. Like,
you're not the first one to say that, but me and Elf Audio, though, we got a really good relationship. Actually, the creator, Merrick, you know, I've actually got to meet him. He came out in Sydney. That's when we did that Elf Audio interview.
Oh, that was him. Okay. And
yeah, exactly. And also, they have helped me. Like, some people are like, yo, do they sponsor you? Not officially a sponsor, but they definitely helped me in some very special ways. So we got a really good relationship, for sure.
Yeah. Shout out to Elf Audio, man. Shout out to Merritt. Yo, man, you creating, like, I seen it when it first came out, to where it is now. And then what y'all are doing with it, man. Like, I even use it sometimes in my productions and stuff like that. Like, it's a good tool to have, man. If it's your primary, like it is for you, Tatsumaki, like, it's worth it. Like, it's worth it. And it can interconnect with other apps as well. That's on iOS and what's the one with the green monster? Not iOS, but
Android.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, it's amazing. Yo, so, all right, let's get back into Guru real quick, man. We talking about this next track. It's called Senzu Sorbet. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Senzu Sorbet. Yep. So let's get into this track, and then we can talk about Senzu Sorbet with Tatsumaki.
Thank you.
sorbet, man. First of all, I want to say shout out to, you know what I mean, Nintendo, because I know, the way you just, the way you flip that sample, man, because tell us about this track, man. Like, I could geek out with you about Nintendo. Tell us about this track, man.
Man, well, yeah, speaking on that, that's like one of my favorite probably pieces of video game music in history. It's like maybe, I don't know, what, 10 seconds? Yeah. But those chords are just so beautiful. Like, mm-hmm. and you know, and it represents death, too. It means you've been murdered, you know, in the game when that plays. Game but, over. Like, it's just the exactly. It's just the most beautiful music, I think, in video game history. And so I've played with those sounds a lot. I've probably done, like, over 10 different times that I've used that sample. But this one I really enjoyed. And actually, an interesting thing, this one and Microwave Theta Wave originally was going to go on Nimbus, that next one I'm talking about, which is basically kind of like my psychedelic interpretation of R&B, the next one. So it definitely has a lot of this vibe, but yeah, they didn't really make the cut for what Nimbus has turned into. But I always really love these tracks. And yeah, it made sense to fit right here on this one.
Yo, man. Yo, like, this joint is, it's so, like, it's so airy. Like, everything breathes. Like, like, just the way that the sound, just the way it comes across. Everything, nothing is crowded. Nothing is, it's just, you can hear every single instrument with the chords playing in. And then you start thinking about, you know what I mean? You start thinking about the game. And then it's, you know, you just lift your, I don't know about anybody else. It just lift my spirit when I heard it, man. So, yeah, hey, man.
Thank you, man.
Yeah. Amazing. Like, I even used that same sample at the end of the podcast, man. If everybody listens to the end, man, like, that's how I know. That's how you know the episode's over, you know, when I use that 10-second clip. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah man. So, all right, Guru, man. Guru, Tatumaki, coming out, man. Exclusively on Bandcamp, man. I'm a link. Is it going to be pre-order? Are you setting up a pre-order for this?
No pre-order. We just going to, it's just going to drop. Boom. And it's going to be out.
Yeah, it's just going to drop on y'all, yo. You know,
yeah, I don't really mess with the pre-orders. I think that works more effectively, like, once you're at a certain caliber and have a certain amount of, you know, people looking for your music. But other than that, I think, man, you just put that shit out.
Got you.
Yeah,
I got you, man. Yo, so y'all heard him, man. Man, so many crazy ideas. I'm just excited. Like, I just thoroughly enjoy your music, man. Like,
thank you, dog. That means a lot, for real.
For real, man. Like, it's out the box. You know what I mean? It's like you can't put your finger on it, but it's it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
that's what it is, yo. Like,
that's mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished, bro. Yo, man. All right, so let's get into Sliding on Snake Way, which is a dope album. Yes, sir. Man. I mean, a dope track name. Sliding on Snake Way, man. Let's get into it real quick, and then we can talk about that track. I don't know if that was a cowbell. I don't know if, like, I don't know what that was.
I think there is a cowbell in there.
listen, man.
Yeah.
Like, that, like, this track is hypnotic, man. So, yo,
thank you.
Talk about, like, what went into sliding on Snake Wave.
Yeah, well, one thing that comes to mind, something that I started to explore a little bit on this album and a lot on the next one, Nimbus, is because it's kind of a trend with that your tracks, you know, of making short tracks, you know, like 1 minute long, 50 seconds and stuff like that. I remember the very first time that I saw that was back in the day, like early 2000 when I first started listening to Flying Lotus. And that was my first time, because, you know, if you transition from like albums, like with full artists where they're doing thongs, hook, verse, you're used to like 3 minute long songs, especially back in them days, cats was doing three verses. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. Some tracks was like 4 minutes.
Yep.
So I remember transitioning to Flying Lotus, and like he has some tracks that were like a minute, 30 seconds, then a 50 second one. Then it was like a minute and 10 seconds. I'm like, man, why are these so short? Like, but his stuff was so dense. Like, it was a lot of ideas in those amount of times. And also I realized it was meant to be listened as a piece. It was like just a moment in the full piece. And then you started to notice people that were inspired by like the J Dilla beat tapes, where he was just putting these beat tapes out for artists to hear little snippets and they can pick what beat they want. But you know, when Knowledge came out, you could hear he kind of took that, and a lot of times it made sense with Knowledge's style, because often it was a loop. And you know, if you didn't have any further ideas, it made sense not to let it loop for 4 minutes. But what I've noticed is I think a lot of people, instead of thinking about what they're doing, I feel like they're just copying. Like, this is what it is. Like, if you make beats, it has to be like 1 minute or whatever. But I had a conversation with my homie Wallace C in Melbourne, and we were talking about house music. And I was telling him how the house music that inspires me is like when people come from like hip hop or something and they do their interpretation of it. But I never was a fan of traditional house, and I was telling him I didn't understand why like a house track's like 12 minutes long. Like, it's just repeating for like 12 minutes. It's the same shit, and like I didn't get it. But he broke down the science to me. I didn't understand it, and he was like, well, listen, the reason that first off is such a slow build, like you might just get the snare for the first minute. And then here comes the kick in the second minute, and all, it's a slow build up. And then finally, when you get the bass, you got the pattern of the drums, but now the bass is going. Like, if a track stopped at 3 minutes, you didn't really get it in your body. So when you're looking at this dance floor, by the time that bass is played for 8 minutes, the groove is so inside of, you know, the dance floor's body, like they got it down now, that repetition, like, So by the time it's like at minute 10 and minute 12, like this beat is literally in them because they had enough time to like live with it, you know, rather than it just cutting at 1 minute. And that just started opening my mind a little bit. And I was like, I started thinking how I can apply that to like beat music and you know, lit in a composition, being able to write it so that it can live for like longer and still be interesting and engaging. And sliding on Snake Way is definitely one where you see me go way past that minute mark, but I feel like I'm really trying to make it a composition that makes you want to listen from beginning to end. So I've been exploring that a lot more.
Yeah, you did your thing, man. You definitely did your thing, yo, the build up, because I wanted more. Like, it's funny you say that. Okay, about dope. House. I listen to the stuff that's on top, but I also listen closely to the stuff that's underneath. Like, Timbaland trained my ear doing that, because he would put stuff underneath to where, you know, you like listen to, you gotta listen to like actually hear it inside of his beats. So he would put like little weird sounds and stuff like that. But yo, man, like I was like, it's like you want to loop that. That's one of the ones where I was like, hey, I wish I could like loop that right now, you know what I mean? But yeah, man, yo, the S yo, Guru, coming out, man. Guru is coming out. Yes, Bandcamp, man. Bandcamp. So you joined a sample challenge, man, hosted by Ski Beats. It's called the Smack Pack Challenge. And you were up, I think you were a finalist, right?
Yep.
And you didn't win, but you did win. You know what I'm saying? You didn't win that contest, right? But
yeah.
But you did win a lot more recognition, a lot more fans. You got more people tapped into you, I think. You know, I'm just assuming. So what was that like, seeing that track that you created work its way up from, you know, just entering it into the contest and then working all the way to the final, not getting it, not getting a W, but getting the W on the, you know, like, you know how they say on the back end, like, you know, when you bet, on the back, you got the W on the back end, like, and then you had people talking about, you know what I mean? Like, don't take it as it's a L, you know what I mean? Like Canal Organism in this next track is talking about that. And Kazal's wisdom, which is another, you know what I mean? Just the way you put it together too, man. So tell us about that experience and then what that was like.
Yeah, well, first off, this is a good opportunity. I'll give a little bit of my Smack Pack history because of the timing of things. I feel like some people will hear this track and they'll get a little confused on the timeline because basically I've been competing in a Smack Pack battle since way back in Volume 5. That's like 2 years ago now. You know, they've been going for a minute. But like Volume 6 was my second time entering, and I actually made it into Volume 6. So that's almost like 2 years ago. And Volume 6, when I got in, I didn't feel like I was personally ready. In fact, when I did my submission, I was kind of like, just putting it out there just for people to hear. I didn't think I was going to win. And then Ski hit me in the DMs. And it was like, I made it through. And I was like, wow, which surprised me because it was like a house track. In fact, it was a track it ended up on Cosmo Funk. I think it's called Lolo Plum. That was it. That was that Smack Pack submission. But I think that Ski was just really impressed with how I was freaking Koala at that time because it was just a scream record. But so I got in on that one, and in my first round, you know, like the beats that was playing, you know, and then I was still so green. I didn't have a workflow. I wasn't able to make enough beats that I felt was good enough to compete in the battle. And I lost in the first round. But the beats that I was playing, there was a few heads in there, like DiBiase. Me and him were just now kind of still coming across each other. Well, not me. I mean, I followed that motherfucker for years, right? But right. He was just coming across me around that time. And, you know, Duke Westlake, who I really, you know, respect, he was, you know, he understood the LAB scene. He understood the electronic beat stuff that I was doing. But a lot of the other cats in there, it was a bit of abstract to them. You know, even some of the comments was funny. Like, I remember one of the comments said, they said, yo, Tatsumaki gets his plugins from GameStop. Because one of my beats, you know, had a lot of 8-bit sounds in it and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. It was funny, but, like, they didn't get it. Like, you could see the comments. My stuff was playing, and it was like. And by the last few tracks, I started to turn a couple heads. And after that, you know, yeah, a lot of people that did rock with it, like Wano Willie, me and him connected after that. Like, I got a lot of good attention from it. But that typical Smack Pack audience didn't fully get it. So that was Volume 6 back like 2 years ago. And then Kazal Organism, he was on one of John Usolo's episodes of Solo Sessions. And that's when I was in the comments because, you know, Kazal, he's from the LAB scene, like he gets it. And he was reacting so positively to my music. And I just made that comment. I was like, you know what? Smack Pack audience, they actually didn't understand it yet. And that's what he's responding to. So when you all hear Kazal Organism, he's not talking about recently. Because in fact, when I made Guru, this was already finished. And I didn't know I was going to get into Smack Pack again. So by the time y'all hearing this interview, like just the most recent Smack Pack challenge, Volume 15, I made it to the finals again. But this time, like I said, that was 2 years ago. I've advanced so much now that like I was just ready to go. I was ready to go this time. And I actually got all the way to the finals. I lost in the finals to Landscape, you know, shout out to Landscape. He's definitely, you know, a legend in the smack pack scene. But this track, Cause All Wisdom, is in response to like 2 years ago when I first made it in volume six. That's what he's talking about.
Got you.
Yo, and I've evolved a lot since then. So.
Got you, man. Yo, let's listen to Kazal's Wisdom.
This is the type of shit that's so power. Don't expect everybody to get your shit. This is for like us.
You know what I mean? It's definitely in your lane, bro.
Nah, bro, this is fuck lanes. Like, this is just, this is for like heads. This is for heads. Like, this isn't for, oh yeah, I got SoundCloud and I listen to music. Like, this is for beat heads.
Yeah, to appreciate it for sure.
Yeah, this is for beat heads.
I feel like, yeah, you can't listen to this as like a everyday person.
Yeah, this is not.
We're not gonna understand it.
This is not for that. This is for the real heads.
Definitely run for the hills, man. Yo, he's he's absolutely correct, man, when he's talking about that. Like, not everybody may get your music, but you know, for those that do, yo, man, they get it, you know what I mean? So like when he was talking, I was like, yo, you right, man. Like he was right when he said, like, yo, don't take it as a, you know what I mean, this is just everyday listeners might not get it. They expect, you know, the polished, you know, pop hip hop type of thing. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's not for them, but it's for the beat heads. Is that a fact? When you create, do you create for the beat heads or do you create for everybody? But the beat heads get it. You know what I mean?
To be honest, I don't create for anybody. I actually just create for myself. Oh. Yeah, like it's 100% for me, what I feel and what I want to say. And then if anybody else rocks with it, that's just icing on the cake. But it's a type of cake that didn't even need icing. Like the cake was already like ice cream cake. Like it had vanilla in that mug. Like the shit was rocking already. So like the icing is super extra. So like, I make it for myself, but because of the way I think and the type of music I like, it's definitely going to lean itself to be respected by like a beat, you know, the beat heads that want that stuff. Similar to like post-war jazz, but like, you know, like post-war when they started making bebop, which bebop, it was like a transition from swing, where swing, you know, became like very popular and, you know, big in the clubs, but post-war, the musicians started saying, you know what, we want to make stuff that musicians want to listen to, that the connoisseurs are going to want to listen to and analyze to the technicality and the feeling of what we're doing. And that's how I see, you know, the electronic beat scene. Like, it's for people that really are listening to the textures and the, you know, the way the drums are processed and the drum patterns. Like, ooh, he did that? Like, ooh, how do you... That kick the snare is crazy, you know. Like that's the type of stuff that I'm making stuff for. That's why I don't like when people refer to my stuff as lo-fi, because today lo-fi, it literally means background music, and I don't make shit that be played in the background. Exactly. Like if you're trying to listen to my shit while you're studying, you're gonna be distracted as hell. Like that's the type of stuff I'm trying to make.
Right.
Yeah.
Yo, absolutely, man. Yeah, I appreciate that, man. Not going lo-fi for background music. You're gonna be distracted as hell, yo.
Yeah.
So facts, man. Yo, so okay, as we round this out real quick, man. So I just want to give people a little bit of background, like as far as albums go. Like, okay, you created albums, Owala. Right on Bandcamp, fully on Bandcamp, but not only does it come with the music, it comes with the videos, all right, as well.
Yeah, man.
And then you got Cosmo Funk that's available on iTunes.
Yeah, that one's just streaming platforms.
Streaming platforms, right? And yeah. Then this is like your third prelude before the, you know what I mean? Before you really get in Super Saiyan, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
So,
and I wouldn't say this one's a prelude. This one's, I mentioned, is like a warm-up. But warm-up. It's definitely like chapter one.
Right. So yeah. The warm-up, right? So is that always the goal is to just push the boundaries, you know? Because I remember hearing something in the album too where it was talking about pushing the boundaries, man. Just pushing it out of the box, man, yeah. And not giving up. Actually, it might have been Kazal Organism.
Yeah.
When he was talking about that. Pushing the boundaries, man, thinking outside of the box and not letting nobody deter you from just creating what you feel, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, man, is this like, well, let's go to Kami real quick and then we'll tell the people where they can find this album, how they can get in contact with you, man. And yeah, let's get to it. Yo, Kami. I feel like you got birds like all through your beats, man. All different types of birds. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I do be sampling birds.
Yeah, I feel like that's that. Hilarious. Yo, like, yo, you a bird watcher, yeah. And you know what I mean, beat maker, all that stuff, man. Like, yo, yeah. Man. So tell me about Kami, and then overall, like what you want people to do, you know what I mean, when they're listening to Guru.
Man, well, Kami, me personally, that's not only my favorite track on this album, but probably one of my favorite recent joints I created. Probably on Guru, the freshest joints, like the most current ones, is probably Kami and Thwomp. Probably, and sliding on Snakeway. Those three are pretty current, like within the last few months, a year or whatever. But like, but Kami, like that's the one I was saying where almost like Thwomp is like super spiritual. For example, the way that came out, like the way those melodies and the chords and the sample chops and the way the drums, like I couldn't even make that beat again. Like I can't even explain what I was doing. Like it's like it's just, yeah, that one just feels so good. And even when I listen to it myself, I'm kind of like, damn, what was I on? Like, right. Yeah. And Kami, I felt like was the perfect name for that one, because back to the mythology and folklore, you know, Kami's kind of like the original Namekian. He's like, you know, he's like their god almost. And actually Kami actually means god in Nihongo, in Japanese. And also it's a perfect transition into where I'm going next. So where Kami, where this album ends, it's kind of a transition into Nimbus. So yeah, Kami's a real special one to me.
Yo, man. So Guru is coming out, man. Like, what do you want to tell the people about Guru and what they're in for when they support this project and then press play on this project?
Man, to be honest, if anybody takes time out of our busy ass day, especially how distracted we are with technology, with things constantly trying to fight for your attention, watch this, download this. Like, if anybody and all that noise even takes a second to listen to my stuff, I'm just deeply honored. After that, it's all up to them, you know, wherever it takes them. But if they even just take the moment just to press play, like that right there, I'm deeply honored and humbled, because there's no shortage of music. There's no shortage of people making projects and putting it out. Like, there's no shortage of people in your DMs like, hey, check this out, check this out. So, and all that noise, if anybody takes a moment and even just listens to my shit, you know, that I'm just deeply honored and humbled, like in the most sincere way. So that's all it is to me.
Got you, man. Yo, where can people find you on social media and on Bandcamp? What's your Bandcamp address as well?
Yeah, on Bandcamp, it's tatsumaki.bandcamp.com. But obviously if you go to Bandcamp and you type in Tatsumaki, that's T-A-T-Z-U, Tatsu, Maki, M-A-K, three I's, I'm going to pop up. You can find me on Twitter and IG, but IG is where I'm most active. You can see my works in progress. You know, you can see what's going on. I'm gonna keep you updated and all of that. And shout out to the Rec Show too, man. Hey, I don't know how much you hear it, but dude, we appreciate you so much, because even just having a platform, you know, where like in our niche, we're already a niche community, but to be able to transmit, you know, our frequency and our signal to other tribe members in this way, and actually get to talk about the process. And because I'm a fan too, I listen to the episodes. Like, I love hearing, you know, just how other people, the way they're thinking, their approach, the process. And we don't have anything like that unless somebody like you really puts in the effort, you know, schedule. Because I know how hard it has to be, like trying to locking in with people as to be the hardest part, getting the scheduling right. But man, we really appreciate the passion you put into this.
Yes, hey, it's my honor, man, to do this show. I thank every single one of y'all for tapping in, man. And this is a passion project, man. Like, I just love, I love music, I love beats, you know what I mean? I love beat culture. I'm from hip hop, you know what I mean? I am hip hop. And I'm doing what I can do, you know what I mean? So, the timing thing and all that type of stuff, that's okay. I just got to make sure my family's straight, you know what I mean? The wedding taken care of before they chop my neck off. You know, like, yo, you always sit here talking to such and such. I'm trying to work, baby. Relax. Yo, yeah. I'm not doing nothing crazy. I'm literally working, man. And, but it's my honor, man, to do stuff like this, like to actually be the first one to tap into a new project from such an amazing, you know what I mean? Amazing person, amazing beatsmith, you know what I mean? And blast that out to, you know, people from around the world, man. And it's my honor, man. I can't say enough about you, man, Tatsumaki. Yo, guru, everybody. Guru, go get that, go support that on Bandcamp, man. I know when it hits, man, you know, I'm gonna be on my Twitter and my socials, you know what I mean, doing what I do. And you know what, it costs $0 for you to share it on your social medias. It don't cost you nothing but a little bit of time, you know. Time is your most important currency, but yo, it don't cost you nothing, man, just to show love and support, man. I feel like you did an amazing job on this album. I'm excited. I'm gonna keep listening to it as long as you keep this private link open. I'm gonna keep listening to it. Before we go, man, any final thoughts for the mutants out there from Tatsumaki?
Man, yo, I feel like all of the main stuff I'm gonna have to say is, when you go to Guru, hey, take some time and read the liner notes. Take some time, read the liner notes, and really try to take in the album too and catch what I'm saying, because I feel like I'm already saying a lot right there. But if anything, to the listeners, if you're just a listener and a fan of the music, I appreciate you deeply, because that means if you're listening to the music, something's impacting you. And if you're a creator and a producer, man, don't settle. Don't settle for what's already happened. Like, keep pushing, keep experimenting. you know, keep pushing boundaries, keep trying to find something new so that you can offer something new to the legacy.
There it is. There it is, yo. I just want to send a shout out real quick to Elf Audio, man, Koala Sampler, to your boy Pax, man, who mastered this joint, to Super Duper, who did the cover art, and Kevin Nagel. This cover art,
by the way, is, Kevin Nagel, I've always pronounced it Nagel, maybe it's Nagel, not for sure, but he's an outstanding music producer too. Maybe one of my favorites. He's insane as well. Super Duper as well. So, you know, I even got music producers tapped into the art that I'm close to in some way as well. So it gives it a bit more meaning to me.
Absolutely, man. Yo, I gotta talk to who did the bass performance on
Zet Rock.
Yeah, Zet Rock, man.
Yes.
And
tap into Zet Rock.
Yeah, who did the vocals for Ultra Instinct, The Thought, who did the lyrics.
Yes, sir.
Spazzed on that, yo. And then
The Thought, check him out on Instagram.
Yeah. And then
Jack Maybe.
Yeah. And then Janu Solo's solo sessions interview with Kazal Organism. Yo, y'all tap
it
out.
Yes, sir.
Y'all tap into all of that, man. Tatu Maki, man, I want to say it was an honor. I appreciate your time, man. I'm definitely going to support, yo, and I'm one of your biggest supporters. You know what I mean? I'm not even
Thank you so
I'm
much, a, man.
I'm one of your biggest supporters, my guy. So keep doing what you do, man. And I hope you have an amazing day, my fan, my G.
Thank you. You too, man. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be back on and actually being able to be face-to-face this time, man.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
Yeah. Got you, man. Yo, hey, listen. That's the show, everybody. So tap into Guru, created by Tatu Maki and the supporting cast. And yo, let's rock out, man. Let's push this up, man. So Bandcamp got to put it on the front page, man. And, what's they call that? Bandcamp Weekly or something like that? Like,
yeah.
Got to put that front page, yo, because the, you know what I mean? Just the cover art alone is going to draw. Man, I'm talking too much. Yo, we out, man. Peace out. Yo.
Kids or other producers, like, that's cheating. You can't really be sad, but bruh, like, when it comes to this producing shit, you can do whatever you want.
You've been listening to the Rec Show podcast. Be sure to subscribe, like, and leave a comment. Remember three things: believe in your music, take care of your mentals, become the best version of yourself. Until the next one, Golden Mind signing off. Peace and love, yo.
Be the best, you got to work overtime. To be the best, you got to work overtime.
These young boys getting better. This is not like the NBA where you can retire. Like, this is, you have to keep going.